here tonight. I apologize. My wife is not able to be with me. She got on the airplane over here in Cleveland just Monday, went to Tampa, Florida to have some medical checks. These are just simply normal procedural medical checkups that we have to have for medical clearance before we can go to the field. And so she is getting hers done early. I will get mine a little later. But I'm very happy to be here tonight, and I am so thankful to see and to feel what God is doing among you. I'm very thankful to be joined together with apostolic believers, people of like precious faith. We are privileged and blessed to be able to serve the Lord in this day and in this hour. I am a firm believer that the apostles and the prophets of the Old Testament were looking forward to the day and hour that we are living at this present time. I am not looking forward to some distant eclipse of the Spirit for an Acts 29 church. No, I am living Acts 29 right now. If you could understand and know everything that is going on in the world with regard to the kingdom of God, the revival that is going on right now, everybody say right now, far surpasses anything that you ever read in the book of Acts. I mean that. It far surpasses what you read in the book of Acts. And we know that is true, or it will be true. And I want to just say I believe it's true right now. But we know that it's the will of God, because the scripture teaches us that greater things than these shall you do because I ascend. I believe that we are living in the moments, the times of just prior to the coming of the Lord. And I believe that this is the greatest hour for the apostolic movement around the world. And I thank God that He has given me the great privilege and honor to be alive and to serve Him in this time. I've come tonight not to beg you for money, but I've come here tonight to tell you thank you for what you're doing on the behalf of missions around the world. I looked on your board, and for my surprise, because I don't keep track of who's my partner, I don't keep track of who quits and who picks me up, I don't keep track of that. I believe that people should give according to their ability and according to their faith. And so when I walked in the door and I saw all of those missionary plaques on the board, my heart leaped with joy, and I found somebody there that I recognized. So I've come to say thank you for your giving to missions around the world. It's not every day that a missionary comes to a service and sees a church who is involved in that level of giving. I had my helper here tonight go back and count how many plaques are on the wall. And according to his number, there are 61. 61 plaques that are in recognition to your giving to missions around the world. If the average of those plaques, you give an average of $50 a month, that is approximately $3,000 a month that's going out the door for missions. Now, you might sit there and say, wow, that's a lot of money. Just think about how many Sunday school buses we could buy if we had a $3,000. Well, let me just help you out and help your faith here for just a moment. Global Missions of the United Pentecostal Church has processed all of the data. And by their numbers and by their calculations, for every $243 that you give to Global Missions, somebody in the world receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So if you take the number of 3,000 and multiply that by the number of months, and I just did some quick calculations, it's about 3,065 times 12. That is approximately $150,000 a year that you give to the cause of reaching the lost. Now, I don't know how many people normally come to your church, but if everybody came that normally comes, and that person that is equal to the 243, your church is only about half big. It's about half the size that it needs to be. Because when you do the calculation and you add what you're already averaging in attendance, and you add those that are born into the family of God in agreement with your giving, you're averaging about 300 people a service. Now, when you multiply that over a four-year period, that is over 600 people who are born into the family of God directly related to your giving to the kingdom of the Lord. So when you say that, well, we don't have very many people here tonight, I want to tell you, you can't see everybody. Because you're responsible for far more people than what you can see. And I'm not talking about those that just decided to hang out at home tonight. That's not my business. I'm talking about people that you have influenced somewhere around the world because you gave to the kingdom of God. Because you gave, somebody went up the mountain and somebody went down the river and somebody climbed down into the canyon and somebody who was willing to sustain a gun barrel to the head and a boot to the ribs and the bomb in front of their home and danger on the road. God is going to make it worthwhile. And because you gave, somebody is able to go. And because somebody went, somebody was baptized, somebody received the word of the Lord, and God confirmed the word with miracles and signs and wonders. It's great living for the Lord in this day and time. My wife and I, we have been missionaries. This is our 19th year, and we have served in three different countries, three different continents. And your plaque says that we are from Poland. So if you're surprised that I said the Philippines, that's okay. I was too. We were home on deputation, planning to go back to Poland. And all of a sudden, on a Friday night, the Global Missions Director said, "Brother Robertson, somebody's going to talk to you about a special need in just a few moments." And so just after the service, Brother and Sister Roger Buckland came to us and said, "We're losing every missionary in the Philippines, and we want to offer you the opportunity to go if you would consider changing fields." My wife and I had already been praying, and we knew that a change was coming, but we didn't know exactly how or when or where exactly. We knew what we felt in our hearts, but you can know something, but until it is confirmed in the spirit, you're just kind of like a question mark there. But we were confident that God was going to direct. We made no telephone calls. We sent no letters. We sent no emails. We told no one in our family. We prayed and we trusted God, and it happened exactly the way God had showed us that it was. So on Friday, we were missionaries to Poland. On Monday afternoon, we were missionaries to the country of the Philippines. I'm thankful just for the privilege to serve the Lord. But if the Lord wants me to be in the Philippines, I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to argue. I'm simply going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for giving. I thank you for praying. I thank you for joining together for the cause of souls around the world. I'm reminded tonight of a verse of scripture in Psalm chapter 34. When David was in the courtyard of a king by the name of Abimelech, David was in a dangerous situation, and the scripture says that he changed his countenance. Now, all of you young guys here, I know this is true because I've been there. Stood in the mirror and made fun of yourself and made faces in the mirror back at yourself. You remember the day? Yeah, you stand in the mirror and you're making the face. And that'll scare somebody to death. David is in the court of the king of Abimelech, and he's afraid that the king of Abimelech is going to recognize him. So he starts acting like a fool. He starts acting crazy. He maybe was slobbering. He was crossing his eyes. He was acting like he was disabled in every way imaginable. But he was there in that moment. And when he walked out the door, absolutely terrified of what could have happened, he said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." When I'm in a dangerous situation, when I am in a position of great difficulty, I will bless the Lord. And then he drops down into verse 3, and he implores you and me. He said, "Let's magnify the Lord together." Now, I don't know how you're going to magnify God. The last I read, he is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. How are you going to make him bigger than what he already is? Well, I know this is really elementary, but I was just processing all of this, and I got the little glass out, that one that you put up to your eye and you're looking at a bug, or you're looking at the writing on this little bottle of water. You get the light out and you use a magnifying glass. My question is to you, how does the magnifying glass change the letters on the bottle? It doesn't. It does nothing to the letters. But it does everything to affect your perception of what you see and what you perceive. The letters are not changed. David said, we've got to do something that we can magnify God about. We're not going to change him because he's already bigger than we can even imagine. He occupies all space and time. But he said, we're going to magnify him. How are we going to magnify him? Well, the best way that I know to magnify the Lord is to start talking about all of his goodness, all of his mercy, all of his blessings. I am a convinced believer tonight that if the apostolic church around the world would spend more time talking about how good God is, everybody in the world would want a piece of him. They would want to know more about him. They would want to desire him. So I just want to challenge you tonight to take a little time tomorrow and magnify Jesus. When you're driving down the road going to work or going to school, take some time to magnify the Lord. The scripture said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I found that scripture to be true. God is so very good to me. I remember a time when my wife and I were in Poland, and we were out doing some prayer walks and some personal evangelism. We had come home tired. We had been in the streets witnessing and praying for over 7 hours that day. It was cold. We were tired. Neither one of us felt like going into the house and cooking supper. So I just suggested, let's just go across to the mall. We'll grab a burger in the food court, and then we'll come home, go to bed. Well, as we're crossing the road, I heard this car screaming down the road, It finally stopped about 16 inches from my knee, and I was a little bit frustrated and aggravated that somebody is not paying more attention to people who are in the crosswalk. And I turned to give that person a piece of my mind that I could not afford to lose. And suddenly I realized that this is a police officer. I told you I couldn't afford to lose it. And so when I saw the police officer, I began to look around for the problem. I knew the problem wasn't me. I got it stopped before it could be. Where is the problem? What is going on? And I looked over to my right, about as far as from here to that speaker, and I saw that somebody had left a bag, a case. And as I looked at that case, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, "Smite that suitcase in the name of Jesus." I don't know about you, but I'm not in the habit of talking to suitcases. That's a little different for me. I know that there's some people that are out there, you know, but me talking to a suitcase, that's not quite my deal. And I said, "Come on, God, what could be so important that I got to do it? Why don't you just do it yourself?" And it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, "If I do it, there wouldn't be no exercise of faith. Because I don't operate by faith by what I do. I operate by power and authority. But when you operate in faith of my power and of my authority." Okay, Jesus, here goes number one. Never done this before. "Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what that suitcase represents. I don't know who left it there. I don't know what's in there. But if you feel like, Lord, that that thing represents danger to me or my family or anybody around here, I ask you that you will bind that in the name of Jesus. And whatever the intent is to leave that there, I pray that you would bind that. And whoever is watching, whoever is doing whatever, has schemed up something evil, I pray, Father, that you would bind that purpose and intent in the name of the Lord." Now, I hadn't said any of this to my wife, who was standing right beside me. So we proceeded on down across the street, and I got about halfway to the other side, and I told my wife, I said, "You know, baby, I don't think we're going to be able to come back across the street and out of the mall the way we've just come." She said, "Huh? What?" So I told her what had just happened. And she said, "Really? Okay." We went in, we had our burger, and we walked around the mall trying to kill some time. And we got back to that door, and it is wall-to-wall police. They've got the doors barricaded with plywood. Nobody's coming in and out. And I got up there like I didn't see them. I just ignored them. "Sir, you can't leave this way." "Why? I just live across the street." "Sir, you have to find a different way to go home." I said, "But sir, I just live across the street." I knew what they were going to say, but I wanted to hear them say it. "There is police activity." "Ah, okay." So we went back and down the mall and got clear to the other end, and we walked across the street, come back on the other side, and we got almost to our apartment building, and these police officers stepped out. "You can't go further." "But sir, that door there, that's my door. I live right there. I just need to go home." "No, you can't go. You have to go away." "But sir, I've been out all day. I just want to go home." He said, "This is police activity. Now you leave." I said, "Good plan." So they're watching me, I'm watching them, and we got back down a ways, and they quit watching me, so I went back down around to the back side of the building because I want to see what's going on. I got to the edge of the building, and I started doing the peek and look, you know, and I got to looking, and well, here comes the fire trucks and the fire trucks and the fire trucks and the police officers and the police officers. And all of a sudden, there's this little van comes down the road, slams on the brake, does a U-turn and backs up. They blew the back doors open. And guess what comes out of the back of that van? Robot. They sent that robot over there to that suitcase. They did all kinds of testing, all kinds of stuff. And something wasn't working. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the problem was with them. I know what was working on my end of the deal. So they brought the robot back, and here comes old Johnny Walker. I hope he ain't here tonight. Nobody here by that name. Johnny Walker, he's walking across the street. He's got all this bomb tech stuff on. He finally gets over there to that suitcase. He kneels down. He's fussing and doing all he can do, testing and nothing. He finally kneels down and he unzips that suitcase, and the Lord is my witness, there's not even a pair of dirty socks in that suitcase. I don't know what happened. I don't know if somebody forgot the suitcase. I can't believe that the police department would be so incompetent to send a robot out and to stop the traffic and to stop the tram and to send all of the fire and the police and all of that, the medical teams, just because somebody left a suitcase at a bus stop. No, no, no. What I believe that something and somebody intended something very, very evil. And the Lord said, not today, Satan. Not today. I want to tell you that the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower that the righteous run into and are. I'm glad that's not was. I'm glad that word is not will be. I'm glad that word is present tense. We are safe in the presence of the Lord. You're safe in the presence of the Lord. Your mind and your body, your health is safe in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've told that story to some of my family and to some of my colleagues, and I always get the, "Are you sure?" Well, I noticed you weren't there, but I was, and so was Jesus, and God delivered us. We found out a couple of days later that the policeman, the military, had confiscated an entire barge of explosives that were coming into the country from one of the neighboring countries. There was strong terrorist activities, but God delivered his people, and I thank the Lord for that. I want to challenge you tonight and to help you to understand how desperate we as missionaries need you. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about people who are connected to the Spirit. People who will respond when the Lord speaks to them. Wake up, get out of bed, and pray for the Robertsons. Wake up, get out of bed, and pray for the other missionary. Pray when God says it's time to pray. Don't reply to him and say, "You know what, I'm going to get that first thing in the morning, just before my cup of coffee." Please don't do that, because you don't know what that missionary is facing at that exact moment. And your prayer and your faith can make the difference between life and death. It is that vital. It is that important. Just before we came home for furlough, we had been locked up in our apartment for about 9 months. Due to something that somebody calls COVID. I know y'all didn't have that around here, but we had this deal going on in the Philippines called COVID, and everybody's scared to death and paranoid, and you got to wear gloves, and you got to wear the mask, and you've got to wear the face shield, and you go somewhere and they got to take your temperature, and you got to show a QR code, and you don't get out of the house unless you have all of that stuff, and everybody's terrified. Scared to death. Well, they began to lift some of those protocols, and it became easier to get around. And so I said, "Baby, let's just get out of here and let's go eat somewhere else. Let's just get out of the house." So we went to the shopping mall, a different one this time. We went to the shopping mall. There was a Pizza Hut And thank God for Pizza Hut. We had a pizza, and it was around Christmas time, and I don't know what they do here in Ohio, but in the Philippines, they go crazy at Christmas time. I noticed you guys are doing, I think we call it social distancing. Did you guys do that? Oh, yeah, you're doing it now. I got it. Well, in the Philippines, there's no such thing as personal space. They'd have about 20 people on that one row right there, I promise. There's no personal space. They have these little tiny vans that are smaller than a Chrysler minivan, smaller. And they'll put 16 people in that little bus. And that's their public transportation. And that's how they go. And so we were at this shopping center, and everybody must have had the same idea. We decided we got to get out of there because there's too many folks around here. We're leaving. You can have it. If it's there still, you can buy it. It'll be fine. So we tried to get out. We finally got to our car. There's people parked in every imaginable place. They're parked in the driveways. They're parked in the road. You can't move. I finally was able to back up and get in the line to get out of the building. And just as we're waiting, our car starts shaking. My wife says, "Jim, why are those guys shaking the car?" Well, I didn't think they were shaking our car. She said, "Jim, what? Jim?" Well, our car is no longer just shaking. It's literally jumping. It's shaking and it's jumping. And it got pretty loud in our car. Matter of fact, it got really loud. And we looked up, and those great big huge concrete columns, they're going like this. That's kind of normal. I mean, flagpole, it goes like this, but those are also twisting. That's not good. That's not a good day to be underneath three stories of shopping mall in the basement parking garage. And about that time, Sister Honey realized what was going on. And brother, there was some loud noise coming out of our car. She was praying and calling on Jesus. And I thought I was doing some listening there, but we got out on the road and we kind of got calmed down. And I said, "Hey, babe, did you think God was deaf?" She said, "Yeah, right, buddy." She said, "I seem to recall there's some pretty loud noise coming from your side of the car." I don't care who heard it. I promise you, when I was calling on the name of the Lord, I wasn't swearing. I was looking for a way to get out. I was looking for some protection. I was looking for some security. I was looking for some hope. And the Lord heard us and delivered us from all of our fear. We got home. We were thanking Jesus. It was a 5.9 on the Richter scale. The mall had lost a few ceiling panels. Nobody was hurt. The Bible school was not damaged. We lost no windows. Nobody was hurt. And God delivered us. We went to bed. And about 9 o'clock in the evening, a pastor from Canada, he called. My wife answered the phone. He said, "What happened today?" Well, that's pretty abrupt. "What happened today?" "I want to know exactly what happened. I want to know when it happened." Oh, well, we went to the shopping mall. We had lunch. And while we are in the underground parking garage, we rode the wave of a 5.9 earthquake. What time? So we registered the time in the Philippines, and we calculated it back, to the local time of where this pastor is from. And he said, a lady came to service this morning. And she said, Pastor, at 3:30, whatever time it was, approximately 3:30 in the morning, the Lord woke me up. And the Robertson's name was on my heart, and I saw a vision of them. I could not go to sleep. I got out of bed, and I began to call on the name of the Lord, pleading the blood over Brother and Sister Robertson. So we put the two times together, and we determined that where he was located and where we were located, the Philippines is 16 hours in advance to where they are there. And the very moment that Sister Hallelujah was screaming her head off, another lady was on the other side of the world calling on the name of the Lord. Jesus, Brother and Sister Robertson are in a very dangerous situation. They need you to intercede. So I'm telling you tonight that when God speaks to you in the middle of the night, please don't wait till morning. You don't know how urgent and how necessary that prayer is. Lives depend upon your prayer. You are vitally important to the work of the Lord. But you think sometimes, well, we're just out here in the middle of the pasture here in Jefferson, Ohio, and nobody knows where we're at. And if they do, they don't even care. I heard that snicker. You feel that some way sometimes. You feel that nobody knows, nobody understands. But I want to tell you that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. God knows where you're at. He knows the faith that you have. And He believes that your faith is enough to perform the miracle. And that's the reason why He calls on you, because He has confidence in you that you are sensitive enough to answer the call of God. I thank God to be joined together of men and women of like precious faith. I have been in many dire circumstances. I was in a service in the Philippines not long ago, and the pastor said, Brother missionary, do you see that lady right there? And I said, that one, yes. He said, this lady was a bomber in the terrorist group up in the mountains. I said, what does that mean? It means that somebody else made the bombs and she delivered them. She delivered them. And I said, what's she doing here? And he laughed and he said, she's been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She's not a terrorist bomber anymore. And you see that lady sitting beside her? She was also a bomber. She also has been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, you see my brother sitting right over here? He pastors up in the mountain, and one of his leading elders of the church is the captain of that terrorist group. He has been delivered. God has filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's no longer involved in those activities, but he lives in danger because the national government, if they can find him, they will kill him on sight. I want to tell you that God knows where you're at, and there is a name that is above every name. A name that is above every name, that is a sanctuary. It is a shelter that you can trust in and believe in. Many years ago in the Philippines, they were having service. Terrorists came to the building. They called the pastor. He came to the front of the church, and the terrorists were angry that he was having church. And they unloaded an AK-47 into his abdomen. He noticed that there were some holes in his shirt, but they left and he went back inside. They continued to worship the Lord, and he noticed that the terrorists left very quickly. Service was over. He got home, and his wife and children said, Dad, your shirt is destroyed. What happened? And they began to look. And the holes were not just in the front, but there were also holes in the back where those bullets had gone through and through. But he raised his shirt up, and there was not one bruise. There was not one bullet hole. There was no blood. God delivered him from a very difficult situation. Another pastor in a different place, the same situation. They called him out. He stood at the front of the building, and the leader took a .357 Magnum and shot him right in the mouth. I don't know how it happened, but the bullet is still in the national office in Manila. He caught the bullet with his teeth and spit it at the feet of the terrorist, and the terrorist beef-feeded it down the road, and they've never seen him again. God delivers His people. I don't know what your circumstances are, but I don't think it's as bad as a .357. I don't think it's as bad as an AK-47. I want you to know that you can trust in the Lord. You can believe in Him. He will supply all of your needs. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that God has given me great privilege and favor to serve in the Philippines. The work in the Philippines started up in somewhere in 1956. It started with one family. With one family. They received a tract written by Brother Howard Goss on the plan of salvation. They believed it. They obeyed it. They went to their pastor to be baptized. He threw them out of the church because he didn't believe it. They sent a letter to St. Louis, Missouri, and they pleaded with them, send us a missionary. About a year later, Brother and Sister Carlos Grant came from came from Bryan, Texas. And they were the very first missionaries in the Philippines. The first week, 30 people, somewhere around 30 people, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first month, about 60 people were baptized in the name of Jesus. Because of their faith, their sacrifice, and their determination to be used by God, we enjoy in the Philippines tonight a constituency of 1.35 million believers who are gathering together and worshiping the Lord just like you and I do. Their vision and their desire is to reach their part of the world. They have over 100 missionaries that they have sent out from the Philippines. You will not find that written on any piece of paper. These people, they are sent and God supplies their needs. Many of them are overseas workers, but when they go somewhere, they start churches. They begin to evangelize, and God honors their sacrifice. Their passion is to reach Asia with the gospel. Their desire is to involve their young people in Bible college education. Most of our students come to the school. They already have a four-year degree in whatever profession of their ability. But they come, they enroll in the Bible school. Their philosophy is that we must have a skill, we must have an ability, but we also must be empowered by knowledge and power from the Lord. So they send their students to the Bible school. They come to the Bible school. They have graduated from a two-year program. They start churches while they're in Bible school. They receive a graduation diploma. The next week, they go and receive their ministerial license. The following week, they're installed as the pastors of the churches that they started while they were Bible school students. God is working among the Filipinos. They are instrumental in reaching countries that I can't even talk to you about tonight because they are access-challenged countries. These are countries that if they find out what these people are doing, they will be put to death. It will be a very seriously dangerous situation. So we rejoice in what the Lord is doing. Just recently in one of those countries, the pastor there baptized over 60 people. Over 60 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost right underneath the government of one of the most difficult countries in the world. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. The neighbor, a little bit north of the Philippines, is presently in a very dangerous situation. They came to one of our churches in Malaysia, and they asked the question, what do we do with all of these underground churches? And the man in the government in Malaysia, he said to them, he said, quit making them criminals. They're not going to overthrow your government. They're going to bless you. They're going to bless your country. Quit making them criminals. They have not done that, but God is still moving. You don't hear about things that are going on in many places in Asia. But I can tell you that according to the research of other people, not our research, but outsiders, they believe that there are over 30 million Jesus name apostolics in China alone. We don't read their stories and we don't hear their testimonies, but we believe that God can go behind every door and He can go across every river. He can go into every circumstance. He can move in places where that are unreachable for us. So we're asking you tonight to join with us in prayer and in faith that the great outpouring that we have personally been longing for is on the way. Somebody here in this room tonight is a key or knows the key for a great move of God in your community. God has a plan and He has a purpose, but He chooses to use people just like you and me. You know, in the kingdom of God, there's no big people and there's no little people. We're all children of the same Father. We're part of the same family, and we are valuable in His sight. So thank you for your sacrificial giving. Thank you for your faith, and thank you for the privilege of allowing me to come and to share with you my testimonies and the things that God is doing for us. Our desire when we return to the field is to start a new Bible school. We presently have 8. We want to start a new one. This one is more advanced. Our curriculum will be more advanced. We have right now over 1,000 potential students who are waiting. Most of the people do not even know that this is going to be available. But we believe that God is going to equip the Philippine people to reach places that I can't go and places that you can't go. While we can't, we can join together with them and God can do the work. Would you lift your voice right now and just lift out a shout of thanks and of praise? And while you're doing that, would you ask God to give wisdom to the national leaders in the Philippines and for the pastors and the saints, that God would help them and expand their faith and vision, that they will be instrumental in being used by God in a greater measure in this time. Father, we thank you for the work of the Holy Ghost and what you desire to do even now. In Jesus' name, we worship you, Lord, and we magnify you. You're an awesome God.
Well, thankful for that word, brother. You think about those missionaries. You think about magnifying God, you know, and, you know, we know how powerful God is, okay? But when we share our testimony, the testimonies that working on their 9th Bible college, 1,000 students waiting, the people that they've reached, the bomber ladies and the terrorist groups, right there, that magnifies the Lord. We know how powerful He is. But we share those stories and those testimonies with our co-workers and our families that don't know the Lord. That magnifies God. It shows them how powerful He is. And it's greater than that, far greater than that. We know that. But that opens their eyes. That magnifies the Lord to a point where they say, I want to know more about that. That's what draws them in. And they feel the presence of the Lord through the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful for that word, and thankful for all those missionaries and how true that is. When God stirs us in the middle of the night, you know, someone halfway across the globe, they're in the middle of their day. Who knows what they're going through? You know, this world is crazy. We know the situation in Haiti, and it's just our country has become an anti-God. We know this world's anti-God, and we're so thankful for these missionaries that just laid it all down. And as our worship team's going to sing, I say we just come to the front. Let's magnify the Lord. Let's lift up the name of Jesus here tonight. And as we go home, let's take this word. Let's take these testimonies that this brother has shared. Let's tell our coworkers and family what he shared with us. Let's magnify the Lord to them. And let's lift his name up here tonight. Amen. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that we felt here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the missionaries around the world, Lord, that took this gospel, Lord, and left it all behind, Lord. It's faithful to you, Lord, obedient to your voice, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Lord, we magnify that name of Jesus here tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done in our lives, Lord. May we continue to magnify you, Lord, in all things we do, Lord. Whether in word or deed, Lord, may we praise you, may we honor you, may we give you glory as we lift the name of Jesus up most high, Lord, as we take this word out to the streets, to our friends, our co-workers, Lord, whomever may hear, Lord, may we take it to them, Lord. Lord, speak through us, Lord. Give us boldness, Lord, as that spirit of evangelism comes upon us. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared with the missionary.